This morning before the first service, I was asked a question. Let me ask you this. How many of you have watched the VeggieTales movies? Anybody? Oh, quite a few. Yeah, our girls were the perfect age that we had them, we watched them. And so the story of Jonah, yes, it was one of the VeggieTale movies. So the question was asked of me, are all of your sermon titles VeggieTale Jonah songs? I hadn't thought of it that way, but I guess today that he is the God of second chances is a song that is on that, and so is In the Belly of the Whale, which we talked about last week. So if that brings back wonderful memories, then you're welcome. If it doesn't, then you need to go watch a VeggieTale movie called Jonah. Great stuff. Did you ever see a church that the sign said, if you're looking for the perfect church, do not come here. You'll ruin it. When I first saw that and I thought to myself, wow, that is one mean church. I don't know if I'd want to go there. That's what they're saying. And then I started thinking about it and I went, well, the reality of it is no church is perfect and we're all imperfect people. So actually the reality of it was is getting this idea of think about it. If you are trying to find something, you're not going to find it. And if you think you're the perfect person, you're actually going to cause problems. And we've seen this actually happen because if you're looking for the perfect church, really it's only going to lead to frustration and a never-ending search for the perfect church. But one of the things that we saw or I noticed in that was the idea of that we are all imperfect people. Now, I think we could all agree with this. There's things that we've done in our past that we're probably not proud of, right? Anybody got some things in their past that they're going, oh man, I wish I had never done that. I mean, it doesn't have to be like the really bad stuff, you know. But sometimes it's like, you know, I just made a really dumb mistake. I wish I hadn't done that. I mean, we do those kinds of things. However, there have been times that I've had conversations and an individual would look at me and they'd say, Pastor, what I have done was so bad that God could never use me again. And I don't know, maybe you're in that place this morning, but one of the things that I want to do in the next few moments is to actually bring in this story of Jonah and show us that God is a God of second chances. Not only second chances, but third chances, fourth chances, fifth, and maybe you're on your 12th chance today, but He will continue to go because He is the God of chances. And that's where we're going to go into it in Jonah chapter 2, verse 10. So take your Bibles and turn there with me to Jonah chapter 2. We're going to start at the last verse and go into the third chapter as well. Verse 10, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Now, last week I shared with you at the end that I would have loved to have been there the moment of Jonah chapter 2, verse 10, when it says that God commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Because I'm thinking, if you were there standing on the side, imagine a person that's sitting there fishing. Or a family that's having a nice picnic over here and the kids are playing in the water. And this fish comes to the surface and all of a sudden launches a man. Notice what Scripture says. It doesn't say that he just let him swim in. It says that he vomited him onto dry land. Now, I tend to take Scripture literally in a lot of ways. So I'm thinking this had to have been a very interesting moment, maybe even a little bit scary. And I could tell you that probably when Jonah came out and walked by anybody who might have been there, they might have been a little put off by how he smelled, because he did not smell like lavender Febreze. He probably didn't look the greatest either. And so here you see this thing happens, and all of a sudden, why did God vomit Jonah out of the fish? Why did he not just let him be fish food? Well, last week we found, and again, Why? Because God has a plan. The first thing that we see in Jonah's story is that God had a plan for Jonah. You think of this, go all the way back. Why did God bring the storm? Remember, Jonah ran the opposite direction. Jonah didn't want to do what God asked him to do. He started going and doing the opposite thing. God brought a storm. Why did God bring the storm? Was it simply because he wanted to hurt Jonah? No, it was because he had a plan for Jonah. When Jonah got thrown overboard, God provided a great fish. Why did God provide a great fish? Was it because he didn't want Jonah to have to swim and he didn't feel that it was good enough for them to throw out a life jacket or a life raft for him and just float? No, God had a plan. Why was it, and this is where I get a little interested in this story as well, the scripture doesn't say it, but why did God deposit Jonah in the way that he did? And where did he? I have my speculations that God turned around, went the opposite way with the fish, and brought Jonah back to where he should have been, on dry land, back at the start. Now, I can't prove it. I'm just speculating. God's a God of second chances. God had a plan, and it dealt with Nineveh, and he had to bring Jonah back to that place. And so I kind of think it must be interesting, and I can't wait till we get to heaven to see the story on the great replay screens of heaven, which again, don't take my word for that. But God had a plan for Jonah, and this is the greatest thing about it. Even if our past is one that we go, God can't use me, God still has a plan for you. And that's what this is all about. In Jeremiah 29:11, one of those great passages, you've heard me use it, and I'll probably use it a lot. I love that verse because it points to this truth. God says these words in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for who? For you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And this is what he said to the children of Israel. Remember that he actually told them this right after he told them that they're going to go into captivity. But that's what he says. I have plans to hope, future, prosper you. And this is what he brings to us. And he says, I'm the God of second chances. I have a plan for you. And this is the greatest thing. Nothing that we do could ever take that away. Ephesians 2:10, another one of those popular verses. Look at what it says. For we are God's workmanship or handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I love this verse as well because it points to something that's very important. If I do something, if I fail, if I fall, if I sin, I do a monumental sin, does that mean that I am done? I created you for good works, which I prepared in advance for you to do. Therefore, God has a plan for us. Just like with Jonah, he used Jonah because God's plan was for Jonah. God can use us because of his compassion, his love, and his grace. He will bring us back and he will use us no matter what our past has in place. God has a plan. He's the God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances. But we also see in this that God loves to use repentant hearts. Notice, remember when Jonah was in the belly of the fish, it was in that moment that he saw what he had done. He knew what he was doing was wrong, but he came to the place where he repented and turned. That's what repentance means, turning away from what he was doing. And in the moment, while he was in there, he said, what I have vowed, I will do. In other words, he's saying, I'm turning to do whatever God tells me to do. And then in verse 1 of Jonah 3, this is what we read. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Notice here that it was not a different message. Notice here that it wasn't a different mission. It wasn't something altogether different. As a matter of fact, it was the word of the Lord that came to Jonah a second time to go to Nineveh and preach against it. He said, this is my plan for you. I use you. You've repented. You've turned. I can still use you. Now go to the people of Nineveh and do what I originally sent you to do. To think that what we have done in our life is so bad that God could never use us is in itself selfish. Because in that moment, what we're saying is the words, God can't. God can't. God can't look beyond my sin. The very God that sent his one and only Son to the cross to die, to say that it would cover all sin, that all who repent, all who confess their sins will be cleaned, I'm saying that God actually cannot do that. Mine is so much that God cannot do this. This is actually one of the greatest tools of the enemy. I already shared a couple of the tools that he likes to use, but today with this one, the story of Jonah, one of the things that he likes to do is he likes to get us to believe this line, that I am too useless to God, so therefore I will be too useless for God. Wants us to believe those words, that because of my sin, I am too useless to God, because he knows if I'm too useless in my mind to God, then I am useless for God. I won't do anything. Satan is known as the father of lies. This is how he works. He is the accuser of the saints. In Revelation chapter 12, this is at the end, John sees this vision. In John chapter 12, starting at verse 9, he says these words, "The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death.'" This is Satan's ploy. This is what he does. He, as a matter of fact, the story of Job, that's one of the things that he says. God asked Job, or God asked Satan, "Where have you been?" He goes, "I've been seeing who's not doing what they should, seeing who I can destroy." And he says, this Job guy, he only likes you because you're nice to him. He accuses the saints. He loves to bring in that guilt. And when he stands before God and he says, "You know what, God, that's so bad. You remember when he did that?" God goes, "Jesus covered that sin." Well, Satan knows he can't win that one. So what he does is he comes and whispers in the ear of us, "Remember that sin that you did? Bad. God could never use you again." To believe those things. Let me share something, a couple of questions with you this morning. Maybe you're in this place where you're questioning this very thing. Maybe you've come to realize that you've been holding on to sin from the past and allowing it to keep you back. Two simple questions. First one is this: have you repented of that sin? Because remember, Scripture makes it very clear. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to hold it against us for the rest of our life, right? No. Cleanse all unrighteousness. So if I've repented of my sin, that God has already done. So there's the first question. Have you repented? Second question, is God faithful? Do you believe that God is faithful to forgive your sin? If you believe that he has forgiven your sin and he is faithful to do it, then we cannot allow Satan anymore to steal the joy of our past and guilt. It is gone. It is covered. God is the God of second chances. He loves to use the repentant heart. In Proverbs 28:13, it says, "Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." It is never the heart of God to remove us from his plans for our lives. It is never the heart of God to say, "I don't want to use you." And as a matter of fact, here's the reality of it. If God is not using us, it's because we have chosen not to allow God to use us. He loves the repentant heart. He loves to fulfill his plan. And then we see in this story, the third great thing with Jonah is that God empowers the obedient. God gives power to those who are obedient to his call and what he does. In this story, Jonah, we see that God empowered him. Verse 2, you read these words. God said to Jonah, "Go to the city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Pretty awesome. I mean, there's days where I'm standing up here going, "God, I wish that you would have just like plopped a sermon and just words and everything, and all I had to do was read your, do it that way." Understand, that's what God said to Jonah. Give you the things to say. Go to them and give the message that I give to you. So God not only gives him a second chance, but he empowers him to give him the message that he needs to bring to them. What a great God that we don't have to spend the rest of our lives trying to get back into his good graces. That we don't have to live our lives trying to prove that we are worthy of being used by Him. He simply says, that's not where I'm at. I will use you. I have plans for you. If you've repented, I can use a repentant heart. And not only that, I am going to empower you. Acts 1:8. That is who we are as a church. That is who we are as the Christian and Missionary Alliance. We are a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. Why are we an Acts 1:8 family? Well, Scripture, a lot of what we do is we take that and we say, that is our mandate as the church to be out there winning people for Christ. Absolutely. But notice what the other part of an Acts 1:8 church is. Acts 1:8 church is a church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, and all Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Isn't it great to know that God gives us the power? Will we, God knew that Jonah would fail. God knows that you will fail. This is a reality of life. This is who we are. We're flawed. And usually what tends to happen is we make the mistake. We feel that overwhelming guilt. So what we do is we take the step back from God and say, you know what? I made the mistake. I can't be used by you. I'm terrible. I'm horrible. This is what it is. And all of a sudden we become the kid on the playground that's the last one picked. Remember that? The last one that was picked. What happens? Every time he's the last one picked for every sporting event, for every game that they played, eventually he comes to this understanding. I am the worst player. Nobody wants me. I can never be better than the worst. Wow. You see, this is what God is saying. I'm not leaving you there. I'm the God of second chances. I'm going to bring you up out of this. And I am going to empower you. I love in Matthew when he's empowering the disciples. Matthew chapter 10, verses 8 through 20, he says, on my account you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At the time you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. This is incredible. I don't know if you've experienced this at all. This is an amazing thing when you feel the Spirit. And all of a sudden you find out as this conversation goes on, you're answering questions that you did not know you could answer. And all of a sudden passages of Scripture are coming up and you're going, where did that come from? You know what? It's not because my mind is that good. I know my mind. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. There have been times as a preacher that I've been coming up and I've got my notes. You know, that's what I do. I put my notes together so I don't forget where I'm at and ramble on and bunny trail. All of a sudden, there's been times where I'm looking at that and I'm going, that's not what I need to say. Why? Because all of a sudden, God has, through His Holy Spirit, rested and said, this is what I want you to say. God empowers those who are obedient. This is the amazing part of this story. Jonah is not a rarity. Story, and again, I talked last week that there people struggle with this story and say, it can't be true. But whether it is or not, and we go, well, you know, if it's not, it's just a fictional story. If that's what it is, then it, you know, it's nice. But no, understand that Jonah is not a rarity. You look through the Bible and you see people who have experienced the God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, all of that. Think about David for a moment. Here's David. David, one of the could ever say, he sinned with Bathsheba. There was one guy that could have gone, I did the worst of the worst, I'm done. There's no way that God can use me. Not only that, there was a time. Moses. Here's a guy. Moses murdered an Egyptian, buried him in the ground, and ran away. What I have for you. You're going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And you're going to become a pretty important person in the history of the Israelites. Think God wouldn't use. It's one that's in direct opposition of God. And yet God says, Paul, I have a plan for you, and I'm going to change your heart. You're going to turn, and I'm going to empower you. And he became the greatest missionary to the Gentiles. And that's the reason why today we have the gospel message. He fooled his father into believing that he was Esau. And as throughout his life, Peter, again, denying God, denying Jesus three times. As a matter of fact, the third time, he sits there and he goes, with curses. I would think he went back to fishing. You know why? Because Peter believed. You are going to be the one in which I build this church through. You are going to be the founding father of the church. And he led the early church into what it was, the gospel for all eternity. God loves to use the broken. God can use you. He's the God of second chances, the God of third chances. Maybe you're on the 12th chance right now, but God has a plan for you, and He'll use you when you need Him. And you know what? He'll empower you for mighty services of His kingdom that you have no clue what He's going to store. That's the God we serve. That's the God we proclaim. Let's pray. Father,